This morning I want to talk about a subject that's become near and dear to my heart because of the situations that I find myself, not myself in, but in being there for my brothers and sisters as God leads me. I hear a lot of times the heartbreak of this situation. So I want to read the scripture that I'm going to get to eventually, but I want to read this scripture to you. It's Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, like I said, I'm going to get eventually to this passage, but I have to talk about some things before I get there. Like over the last few years, the Lord has exposed me to a lot of different people from around the world. Facebook has opened up, as bad as it can be, it's opened up a lot of things. A lot of exposure for me to minister to other people. And over those years, I've come into contact with a lot of believers who agonize day after day because they don't understand, or they worry and they fear and in terror of their place in the Lord. Okay? And then there's other people that go about their lives as if nothing happened when they became a believer. They just continue on living the way they live, and it's like nothing took place. Okay? So, I want to address both of these issues. And the thing about it is, on one hand, you have a group of people who worry and fear about every act and every little possible failure that they may have accomplished, okay, or may have done, okay, that will cause them to lose their salvation, okay. Then on the other hand, you have a group of people that believe that they have come to the front of a church, they have knelt down, they've cried a few tears, they've said some magic words, and now I'm saved, so I can go about my business and do whatever I want. Okay? I got my insurance card, my fire insurance card. Okay? So I want to address these two things. There are so many false doctrines out there that cause anxiety and fear and false security for people, and I want to do this, but you got to go at it from Scripture. Okay, you have to address this from a biblical perspective, and in order to do that, we have to see what the Bible says. Now, first, I want to talk about what the Bible says must be done in order to truly be saved. Okay, in order to find the salvation that Scripture gives us. And trust me, this book right here is the only place you find salvation. Okay? And so in order to find the salvation that the Word of God promises us through Christ, you must repent, believe that God the Father sent God the Son to become a man, to live a sinless life, and that he gave this sinless life as a sacrifice and a propitiation for the sins of all mankind, including yours, that he died, he was buried, and that he rose again, conquering sin and death. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul gives the clearest declaration of the gospel in words. Now, the whole Bible teaches it, Okay? But Paul gives us a straight to the point what the gospel is in these verses. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Okay? Now, again, very clear, very straight to the point. This is what you have to do to be saved. Okay? Now, Paul also tells us in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and anybody that has ever studied the Romans Road will recognize this this verse, these two verses. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must place your faith in this truth to find salvation. Okay? This is offered to man by only one God, the true God. And it has to be the God of the Bible, or else there is no salvation. Okay? And so that's what must be done to find salvation. Okay? Now, I want to talk about what happens when you do believe in Christ for into salvation. Okay? And a lot of you will recognize this passage as well. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." The first thing that happens to a person when you become a believer is that you change. Okay? That it cannot be any other way. Okay? Now, in order to come to this point, something has to happen. Okay? Now, we believe that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Okay? Part of that is there's what we call repentance. Okay? Now, a lot of people don't understand what repentance, biblical repentance, is. The word that is translated repent in the Greek is metaneo. And some people translate it as metanoia. Okay? This word means to change one's mind. Okay? It's not about sorrow. It's not about crying tears and being upset because you did something wrong. Okay? It's about changing your mind. And when you do this, you're changing your thinking about your life, who you are. Okay? You're going through life and you're fine. Everything is wonderful. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm not in any danger. I'm okay. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts to work on your heart. And He starts to impress upon you that there's something wrong. Okay? And you start to think a different way. You start to understand that I am not okay. I'm a wretched sinner who needs salvation. And that the only place for salvation is through Jesus. And you completely change the way you think about life. That has to happen in order to become a believer. You can't go through life if that doesn't occur. I'm sorry. You can't go through salvation into salvation if that doesn't happen. Okay? And again, I want to make sure we do believe that you're saved by grace through faith in Christ. Okay? That's how it happens. But you have to come to repentance. You know what the very first words of Jesus in his ministry was? Repent. That's the first thing he said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, you got to change the way you're thinking, people, or else you can't come to me. And so, with this change of mind, and trust me, when this happens, when you become a believer, it's not a long process. It's not about coming to the front or standing when the pastor says stand. When you become a believer, and look, my hands don't work. I want to snap right now, okay? But it ain't going to work. When you become a believer, it's quicker than a snap. Something happens inside of you that changes your mind. It changes the way you think. And it is instant. It happens in an instant. And that's what happened. Thank you. Okay, I can't do it, so somebody else did it for me. You'll be changed from that moment on. Okay? And that means you become a new creation. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares. You become an instant new creation. You've got something new inside of you, and there's no denying it for you. Okay? And so, understanding that means that you're not going to be able to stay in the same things that you were staying in without consequences. And I don't mean the world, all right? I mean that when this happens, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. And He's not going to leave you alone in sin. He's just not going to do it. Because He knows it's bad for you, and He's going to continue to work on your heart, and you're going to understand that there's something different there. You're not going to be able to go continue to do the things you're doing. Okay? This is where some of the trouble arises for those who struggle with the idea of salvation. Okay? With the fact of salvation. Okay? First of all, you have those that, like I told you before, they come to the front of the church, they cry some tears, they say some words, and then they go out into the world and nothing changes. Okay? Remember, they believe, they've read the Romans Road. Somebody quoted the Romans Road to them. And in 9 and 10, it talks about confessing, right? They believe that part, I confessed, right? I went in front of everybody. I said it. I declared it. But they don't understand the first part of it. They don't understand the heart part of it. It's a two-part process. The heart and the mouth is involved in that. So they just believe that they confess with their mouth and they have declared faith in Christ. Like I said earlier, they've got their fire insurance card, and now I can go about doing whatever I want to do. That's just not possible. Not to a true believer. Okay? And they have no change in them. Remember what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Okay? Because of this, these folks live in danger. Okay? And only you will know if this applies to you. If you go about, if you come to the Lord, if you come and you sit in a service and a pastor talks and Holy Spirit works on your heart and you become a believer, okay, you know it. And so you go out into the world and you begin to do things, and you will know whether there's peace in your heart or not. Whether God is working on you or he's telling you, I'm just not going to leave you alone while you're doing this. A lot of people come to faith and then go out into the world and begin to doing whatever they want to do. This is a dangerous position to be in, okay? Because if you do that, if a pastor says, okay, you came up here, that's it, you can go about your business, okay? That's so dangerous because you have a false assurance. Because if you're out there doing it and there's nothing in your heart telling you there's something wrong, then there's never been a change. And you're walking the earth thinking I'm good. Okay? The most terrifying words in Scripture are found for me. It may be something different for you. For me, the most terrifying words in Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23 through 23. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Can you imagine going through life believing, hey, I said the magic words, I cried the tears, and going through life believing that's all that was necessary, and I can go about my business. Okay? I can continue doing what I'm doing. There's nothing inside of me that says I'm wrong. And then you stand before the Lord of heaven, and you're sitting there, you're thinking, I'm good. And he says, I never knew you. That's absolutely horrifying. Because there's no going back. You can't go back from there. Okay? That's why we need to get out there and we need to tell people who are doing this. We had a person in our fellowship a long time ago that this person continually brought this subject up to us. And we kept telling this person, no, you can't live that way. Okay? And your heart breaks because they're there and they're believing that it's about words spoken and not heart believing. And that's so dangerous. That's terrifying to live. For me, to see someone going through that. That's why this is such an issue for me. Because I see people all... Well, not see people. I deal with people all the time that are facing these issues. Okay? Now, as far as those who are struggling with every little failure, believing that somehow, when I did this, or because I continue to do this, I've lost my salvation. They don't understand that this new creation is kind of a work in progress. You know, we joke around about the highways. When they start working on the highways, it takes them about 70 years to finish a 1 mile stretch. Right? Right? The bridge in Morgan City, they've been working on it for a few years and they've been milking that job, right? It's just, they got to do what they got to do, I guess, to make their money. But what the person who struggles with, I've lost my salvation, and they just battle all day, every day about, man, I just did it again. And God's never going to forgive me for this. I'm done. I'm toast. Okay. They've fallen under false doctrine that when you've come to be a believer, that you will never sin again. And I'm here to tell you, that's just not true. Okay? I'm just going to break this news to you. When you become a believer, you still live in a sinful body. Okay? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. And so these people, they fall under some teaching, okay, that just tells them this lie that if you continue in sin, you're not really saved. Okay? And that's just not true. Okay? Here's the deal. In some people's lives, when you come to faith, I knew a person way back, you know, we were talking earlier about how time flies. Way back in the day, okay, it's so sad that when you can talk about 30, 40 years ago as though it's like, you know, you were still an adult back then. This man was a drug addict, an alcoholic, a womanizer, right? And one day he came to faith in Christ, and God wiped it out of his life. Never did drugs again. And I mean, see, I can't do it. Instantly, God said, that cocaine is not part of your life anymore. That alcohol is not part of your life anymore. And you're going to stay true to me. And when you find a wife, you're going to be true to her. Okay? And it was instant. But then again, there's a lot of people where it go through time where God works on your life and cleans you up. Now, let me tell you, this not God is the reason why this happens. It's us. Okay? He's patient. He's kind. He's loving. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, you'll see what he is. Okay? God is patient with you. And he's going to work on your life and he's going to clean things up on you. Okay? What these people who struggle with this failure, they don't understand that you did become a new creation. They don't understand what's called sanctification. Okay? When we go through the process of sanctification throughout our lives, God's going to work on you to clean up things in your life. He's going to, I tell people all the time, I used to have the most foul mouth you can imagine. Right? I cussed with every sentence that came out of my mouth was a cuss word. I was in the Marine Corps. No excuse. Okay? That's the culture. Okay? Everybody's, you know, flying off with the foul mouth. All right? But I took it to an extreme. When I was first diagnosed with diabetes, taking the medicines, my sugars would drop and everything. So I carried a bag of candy with me in my car. Okay? And I told people, I told my troops, I said, look, if you catch me cursing, I'll give you candy. Now, it's nothing big. I mean, it was just the fact that they were catching Staff Sergeant Ackman cursing. That was the joy of their thing, right? So I was going through a bag of candy a day. That's how bad it was, okay? I was foul-mouthed. And then one day, and when I started serving, and I said, Lord, just, you know, I need your help, okay? I didn't realize when it happened. I had somebody come up to me and ask me, why don't you curse? I'm like, I guess it's the Lord. Because I don't realize that I wasn't cursing anymore, okay? God, it took time, all right? But God did a work in me. He didn't change me overnight. He didn't change me in an instant, though I would beg him to often. It worked in my heart. And very rarely does even those words come through my mind. Now watch, tomorrow I'm going to, you know, the enemy is going to work on me and it's going to, you know, it's going to happen. But that's just the way it works, okay? But I know that failure doesn't separate me from God. Okay? I am a new creation. It's a work in progress, right? And so those people that struggle with failure, they don't understand that their work in progress is that doesn't separate them from God. And what that does, of these two positions, this one is the most heartrending for me. Because you have a person that truly wants to be a follower of Christ. There was something that happened inside of them. And because of their own flesh, because of their own weaknesses, and because of the enemy, trust me, it's not just you. The enemy knows how to work on the believer. Okay? And so the enemy comes against you, and he starts telling you, he'll convince you to go do it, and then when you did it, oh, look at how horrible you are. Look at how wretched. Look, do you think God could love you? Look at what you just did. These people are so devastatingly torn, they can't enjoy the joy. They cannot experience the joy of walking with Christ. I'm not talking about, because remember, I don't say you should go out and live your life the way you want to live it. I don't want to say that. But you also cannot be the kind of person that every time you slip up, you think, I'm going to hell. I've been destroyed. I've ruined that relationship with God. If you think that, you don't know God. And I don't mean you don't know salvation. I mean you don't know who He is. Because He is a God of forgiveness. And let me, I'm going to give you another bit of news that is going to come as a shock. Okay? 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. And here's the shocker. You weren't born yet. At least most of us weren't. Okay? That means that Jesus died on the cross for all of your sins long before they were committed. And that means the future ones fall under that category as well. Because I'm promising you, there are future ones. Okay? Knowing us, there will be more. Okay? So, that when you come to the understanding of who God is, what happens when you do that, when you fail, I'm not saying don't be remorseful about failure. Okay? What I'm saying is, it's not about losing salvation. What the person that thinks about losing salvation, where they go wrong, is they don't understand who it is that brings about salvation. Okay? Now, let's talk about correcting both of these viewpoints. All right? The solution, as I said, is to properly understand three things. Who it is that brings about salvation, who it is that makes the changes to the saved, and who it is that secures the saved from that moment on. Okay? First thing is, who brings about salvation? John chapter 6, verse 65. I think this is correct. He said, Jesus said, therefore, I say to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. So according to Jesus, you cannot come to him unless God has called you. Okay? Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. This is a long read. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the ones to the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is the one who opens up your understanding about salvation. You can't come to that understanding without Him. You're incapable of it. That's another discussion for another day. Okay, we can talk about that, the free will versus, you know, whatever. Okay, that's a different thing. We believe that you have free will, and God will not violate that. Not because He can't, but because He chooses out of His sovereign will not to. Okay? But He will work on your heart. He will. Look, Jesus just, in this passage, Jesus cast out the call. Come into me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. So He cast out the net. Come. But you can't do that unless God calls you. Okay? And He won't do that unless you open your heart to Him. Unless you listen with your ears and your heart. You can't come to salvation unless God calls you. The next thing we need to understand is who it is that makes the changes in this new creation that 2 Corinthians 5:17 speaks about. I'm going to reference this passage. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's too long. It's Romans 8, 1 through 11. Okay? In this passage, it tells us that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Okay? Who are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It tells us that Jesus, through His death, burial, and resurrection, freed us from the law of sin. He freed you from that. Not that you're not going to do it, but you're free. You don't have to do it. Okay? In this freedom, we're given the ability to not walk in that in sin, not by our own strength, not by our own willpower, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason why Tony doesn't curse anymore isn't because Tony all of a sudden decided he's tired of giving away candy. Okay? It's because the Holy Spirit worked inside of Tony to remove that from his life. And he doesn't do it anymore because the Holy Spirit keeps it out of his life. Tony's flesh, every now and again, you know, the guy cuts you off on the highway. The thought comes in your mouth, but it doesn't come in your ears, your head, I mean. And it doesn't come out of your mouth, right? Tony's flesh rears it up in the back of his head, but the Holy Spirit keeps it from coming out of your mouth. Okay? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We have no power to make these changes. But here's the deal. It's for these people that think they have they've said the magic words. This passage also tells us there's a big if. And when the scripture says if, you need to pay attention. Okay? It says, if the Spirit indeed dwells in you, these things are there. The Holy Spirit is there, working inside of you and changing you. You are a new creation. If the Holy Spirit is not, that's where the danger for the one who thinks they believe and can continue in sin comes in. Because here's the deal. Like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit won't leave you alone. When you're in sin and you're a believer, He's not going to leave you alone. There are many people who come to faith, truly come to faith, and they go out into the world for whatever reasons, their own weakness, lack of teaching, lack of instruction, right? Lack of discipleship, whatever the reasons, okay? And they go out and they sin. Okay? I'm one of them. I'm here to tell you. I came to Christ at 13 years old. Okay? But Tony didn't live the life of a Christian for another 20 years. Didn't even try. Okay? And not that, God wasn't working on me in that time. I was just out there doing my stupid stuff. He was telling me, don't do this. Oh, I'm going to do it anyway. Right? He kept telling me, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, I'm going to do it. Right? And I paid the price, let me tell you. Okay? I'm not advocating to go and do this. I'm just saying it happens. But that 13-year-old that gave his life to Christ is standing in front of you. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm absolutely in love with the Lord. Nobody's going to steal that from me. Okay? I'm saved. And my sin never separated me from Him. And it ain't ever going to do that. No matter what happens. Okay? And ain't nobody's lie is going to convince me that I'm lost because I failed. Because I know I have Jesus in my heart. And only you and me can tell. The only two people that know, well, four people, that know if you're saved is you and the Trinity. Okay? That's the only ones that know if you're truly saved. Because it's inside of you that where it counts. I can look at you and say, man, you're what a horrible individual. But I don't know. Right? Or I can look at you and think, wow, that man's really godly. That woman, look at all she does for the church. And they don't have nothing inside of them. Okay? There's, like I said, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Did do a lot of things for the Lord, but he never knew them. That's horrible. Okay? So these people that believe that they can go out and continue to sin, and there's nothing inside of them telling them it's wrong, that's dangerous. Because if the Holy Spirit's not there, one of two things is happening in that situation. Number one, they're like Tony, and they're not listening. Or number two, he's not there. Okay? You can't hear the Holy Spirit inside of you if you haven't had him come inside of you. Okay? So that's the danger. It's dangerous both ways. Trust me, I know. It's a painful life out there when you ignore the Holy Spirit. Absolutely painful. And it's also destructive eternally if you don't have the Holy Spirit and you believe that you do. Okay? The reference that I referenced earlier about the big if, is Romans 8:9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That is also a scary thing. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are not His. Period. And if you're out there doing whatever you're doing, and there's nothing inside of you saying, don't do that, son. And look, and I said earlier, don't do that. It wasn't a mean, grab you by the scruff of the neck and tell you, don't do that. It's just, it's hard to explain, but it's just this voice, it's this little son, don't. Knowing that when you do it, it's going to hurt. And he's loving you. Like I said, 1 Corinthians 13, okay, the first couple of verses. You want to know what God's love is? Go look at that. And he's there telling you, don't do that. If that's not there, he's not there. And if he's not there, you're not his. Now, finally, I want to talk about who it is that secures that salvation. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, in him, Jesus, you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchase price, or the purchase possession, to the praise of his glory. Okay. You did not bring about your own salvation. You cannot perform any work to keep it. Okay? You're not going to work your way. You're not going to be able to lift yourself up into heaven. It can't be done. Okay? The only way that that is going to happen is through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you become a believer, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He comes in and dwells inside of you. And he seals you. And the idea of sealing means nobody can break it but the one who put the seal on you. Okay? That's the idea here. He puts a seal on you. And look, if God puts a seal on you that nobody can break but the one that did it, who's going to break that? Nobody. Nobody. Okay? The Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and from that moment on, he's holding you, and he's got you in his hands, and he's going to carry you, and he's going to present you before the Son. Okay? That's his job. That's what he's here for. To grab a hold of those who believe and carry them through their lives. And when all is said and done, whether it's through life or in the rapture, he's going to set you there in front of the Son at the Bema seat. That's what I believe. How I believe it happens. Okay? And I got scripture to prove it. I don't want to go into that part yet. John 10, verses 27 through 30. Says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any one snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Guys, it can't be more clear. The ones who God has called to him, they're in his hands. And those are some mighty hands. And you can't break it. Nobody can open. Ever try to get something out of a toddler's hand? Audrey? Right? It's like a steel grip. Okay? Like, how did that little dude get that, you know? And so, God's hands is so much more stronger. There's nothing that can break it. Nothing. Okay? And that brings us to our passage. Remember, I told you, I promised we'd get to it. Okay? Romans 8:38 and 39. I'm going to read it again. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Paul says these words, he is speaking to believers. He is speaking to saved people. He's not speaking to the unsaved. Okay? And what he's telling you and me and those who believe is that When you become a believer in Christ, okay, and there's that big if again. When you are in Christ, there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from Him. Okay? Not death. Look, to a believer, death is glorious. Now, I'm with Pastor Jeff. The process, I don't want to go through. Okay? I want a swift... Again, I can't do it. A swift impact, you know, whatever it is, to go. I don't want it to be drawn out. Okay? But death isn't the end for us. Okay? Man, it's the beginning for a believer. That's the beginning of glory. Now, here's the key. Life can't do it either. You're living life. Life is going to happen, believe it or not. Okay? And that's not going to separate you from Him. If you are His, life is not going to separate you from Him. Like I told you earlier, all of your life was in the future when He paid for it. There's nothing that's not... You can't surprise Jesus. Oh, I didn't know she was going to do that one. Right? You can't do that. You can't have angels, principalities and powers. All of these three speaks about the spiritual world. Right? That the spiritual world can't separate you. They might try to convince you. Okay? They might try to work on you. But they can't separate you from Him. Nothing in the present, nothing that's going on in your life right now can separate you from Him. Nothing. If you're in Christ Jesus. Here's the dinger. Nothing in the future can do it either. Right? Why worried about the future? Jesus Himself says, why are you worried about something you can't control? Worry about today. Today's enough of His trouble. And then He just told you, don't worry about today either. Right? So, there's nothing too high, nothing too low. You can't go low enough for Him not to reach down there and pick you up. Just in case, Paul thinks, well, maybe I might have missed something here. He throws in, no other created thing can separate you from God. Now, here's another newsbreaker for you. You are one of those created things that can't separate you from Him. When you become a believer, a true, and I want to emphasize this, a true born-again believer, you cannot lose salvation. It's impossible, according to the Scriptures. It just won't happen. And you can't change, you know, you can't mess up enough for Him not to love you. It's just impossible. When we do find that place where we're sitting, look, it doesn't even have to be in a church, right? Be sitting at home. The pastor that brought me to Calvary Chapel type churches, his name is Raul Reese. He's a pastor out in California. And he was sitting in front of his TV. And he had his pistol in his hand. He just lost his family, right? Through his own alcohol and abuses. He was a what they call a tunnel rat in Vietnam, right, in the Marine Corps. So he was going through a lot of probably what they call PTSD today, okay? And he's sitting in front of his TV, and I don't remember if he kicked it or just turned the channel or whatever, and on comes Chuck Smith, okay? And this man was ready to end his life. In his living room, God reached out through a television set. We all know how evil TV is. Okay? He reached out through a television set and said, no, I love you. Don't do that. And he became a believer. And he became a pastor. And God put him on the radio. And he put this knucklehead in the Marine Corps from Louisiana. Put him on the radio. Put the pastor on the radio so I could hear him. And man, as soon as I did, I'm like, oh man, this is it, Lord. And that's when I started walking right where I needed to go. And I said, when you come to that place and you come to true repentance, in your heart you change this instant. And you say, Jesus, I need you. And you ask him for forgiveness. Look, I'm going to say this with 100% guarantee. There is not a soul that has ever lived, that is living, or ever will live, who asks for forgiveness from God that gets turned away. Not a single one. So when you come to that place, nobody can separate you. Nobody can tell you you're not saved. So don't ever believe it. And if you come to a place where you've said, I place my faith in Christ, if you walk out there and you're not, nothing has changed, I think you need to do a heart check. Because you need to check what's going on inside of here, if there has been a change, if God has touched my heart. And if he has, then you say, Lord, help me to get out of this stuff. That's what he did for me. Okay? He can and will do it for you if you're in that place. Okay? If you find yourself and you find yourself and you've messed up, remember, that didn't separate me from him. Okay? But make sure, make absolutely sure, and only you know this, make absolutely sure that he is living inside of you. Because all the promises in this book, from the first page to the last, don't apply if he's not. That's the horror of going through life believing you did and you didn't. Okay? It's kind of like going to the bank and believing I got $10 million in the bank. And I go in there and there's like less than 10. Okay? I mean, I've been there. So it's horrible. So make sure, only you know. And once you make sure, set your eyes on him. Look, when you fail, okay, Lord, I'm gonna get my eyes off that failure. I'm gonna get my eyes off of me, and I'm gonna get my eyes on you, and I'm gonna follow you. What's that? There's a song about that. I will follow you, right? We sing these songs. We need to pay attention to the words, because if we do that, the song we sang today about the man who lost his family at sea, and he could honestly say the words, "It's well with my soul." After that, then we can get to the place where, okay, I messed up, but Lord, please help me to get rid of this stuff. Get this out of my life and turn me around, and I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to get into your word. I'm going to learn your word. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to just soak it all in, and I'm going to fellowship with other believers. I'm going to listen to teaching, proper teaching, okay? And I'm going to set my eyes on you. And that's where we're going. And so we need to get to that place. And rest assured, once you do, it's locked in. 100%. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the eternal security of my salvation. And for the security of the salvation of all of my brothers and sisters in this room and maybe listening out there through the internet. Lord, I'm so grateful for what you've done for us. And I pray that if there's anybody out there struggling with this battle, that you would bring peace to their hearts. For those who are in sin and not listening, and or maybe even not even having you in there. I pray that you'd work on their hearts to help them to understand that if they're not a believer, that they need to truly welcome you in and believe. If they are a believer, they need to start believing and start hearing your word, hearing your Holy Spirit, and listening. And for those struggling with failure, Lord, comfort. Lord, lift them up. Get their eyes off of their lives, off of their own flesh, off of the world, and get their eyes on you so that they can walk and enjoy the fellowship and the love that we should enjoy with you. And if there's anybody out there that needs that comfort, Lord, bring people into their lives, whether it be one of us in this room or someone else that's around them, to bring them that comfort, to bring them that love, to reassure them and to lift them up as you call us, Lord, to bear one another's burdens. May your Holy Spirit be with us as we go out into this world. Strengthen and equip us, Lord, for what you have for us in this coming week. We pray that you keep everyone safe and secure until that day we come back to you in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.